we're still talking about our response. What is our response as a church when we hear that God is doing something, right? And yes, God's always doing something, but when there's a concentrated number of reports or things are happening at a expedited rate, like, what should we do? What should our response to be? And so the first few weeks we're like, and let's hear about it, right? Let's talk about it. Let's hear the reports of that. Let's be excited about that. Let's be informed, you know, that John Tyson, like, first of all, like, let's lean in. Let's open our ears to that. So we did that for a few weeks. And then last week I said, every revival that's ever been recorded in history, there's every move of God, every time that a large number of people came to Christ, anytime that a large number of people in the church, see, what would happen in these moves of God is churches would dwindle and they would even close them up, and then revival would happen and they would reopen or they would fill up because people are coming to Christ. And that's what we're talking about. This is all, it's not about some event or some thing that we can say, yeah, see, we got this or whatever. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus doing God things, right? That's what we're talking about, this move of God. And so we shared last time that, well, just quote after quote after quote from different books and from the Word of God, that anytime God's really doing something, somewhere behind it, you can find someone praying. Are you with me, church? Anytime that God's doing something, and I even in your personal life, you're going to find behind that is someone praying. And sometimes we find out years down the road, someone would come up and say, hey, we've heard these stories. We've heard these stories about us. We've heard these stories about other people. Hey, you don't know this, but I've been praying for you since you were 3 years old. Right? And you don't know those things. And you're just like, wow, God just showed up all of a sudden. It's because someone was praying. And so you get to be that. You don't just get to be the recipient of that. You also get to be the progenitor of that, the producer, the creator. Like, not that you're doing God's part, but your part for other people. We're praying for our church. We're praying for our town. We're praying for our business. We're praying for our schools. We're praying for our city. We're praying for our families, right? Praying for our nation. So you get to be a part of what God's doing by praying. Turn to somebody and say, pray. Right? You get to be a part of this incredible move of God that people aren't sure what to call it, but they just again and again. Like, I love that some of you guys are sending me stuff now. Sending me stuff. I opened up Messenger the other day and there was some more reports of God doing stuff around the nation, different colleges. And like, it's just, it's on and on and on and on and on and on it goes. And just was listening to one of the normal list of pastors that I listen to each week, listen to their message, and he said, I've never seen so many people, like, over and over, I've never seen so many people getting saved in our church. Like, they're going to service after service after service, but people are coming to Christ. Like, it's just, it's crazy. And so other areas, we don't always see that, and, you know, we haven't seen thousands come to Christ here yet, but that's what we're praying for, yet. Yeah. Look at somebody say, yet. I like that. I like that. So we talked about praying last week. This week, what else can we do? What else can I do, Pastor? How else can I set my life up to be a part of what God's doing? To invite him to do that here in my own life, in my family, in my city. And how can I respond to that? And it's by, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in about half hour? What are you going to be thinking about? Right? Because you are hungry, right? There's a natural hunger, but there's also a spiritual hunger. Amen? And now we've used that language a lot around here, but if you're visiting or maybe you just, I don't know, I say things all the time that we've said for years and people will be like, I never heard that before, Pastor. Where were you for the last 10 years? Like, so it's funny. So I'm the same way. I do it as well. And so you can be hungry for the things of God. And so Jesus tends to move in places where there's a hunger. Does that make sense? Where there's people that are gathered that have a spiritual hunger, God shows up there. Oh, what are you saying? That God isn't in other places? That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that God tends to do stuff in an atmosphere where there's hunger. And Jesus went to his own hometown they're like, oh, you're just that guy. And guess what happened there? He did a few miracles and that's it. But in these other places where there was this, people were wide-eyed and they wanted to know what's going on, and they just leaned into what God was doing. God did all kinds of things. So my challenge for you this morning is be hungry. Be hungry for God. Cultivate, as Stephen would say, cultivate a hunger for God. So one of the things that we might think of is just that, well, I'm not hungry for God, so that's just not me. Oh, my friend, it can be you. Because here's the deal. We're created in Christ to thrive in Christ, right? We've been made to find our hope and our life and our joy in God. And who was it, C.S. Lewis or Chesterton? One of those guys said, God cannot give us joy outside of himself because there is no joy outside of himself, right? So anything that we get, that we're experiencing some kind of lasting joy, it's because God had something to do with it. So we're created to have this exchange with the Lord, and that's where we're meant to thrive, is in him. And so cultivating this hunger for God and for his presence and for his word and his ways, it's good for you. It's good for you. It helps you thrive, right? So Matthew 5:6, Jesus is giving his very first sermon. And he said this, Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He didn't say, blessed are you who just do the right things. He's like, I want you from the core of your being to yearn for righteousness. You with me? I want you from your insides to long for, right? And I could give you 1,000 food analogies because I've been doing this a long time, and you guys know I'm kind of a foodie. I like to eat a lot. And I have yearned for and longed for a lot of different things. The other night, see, I knew it. I knew I wasn't going to do it because I knew it, just going to get off track, and I'm going to tell a food story. Hey, look at Aspen. Look at how disgusted she is. I'm going to tell this story, and you're going to be even more disgusted. It's not like a crying one, but it's one of those. So the other night, Aspen's like, dude, Dad, we're out. We're dipping on you. I'm like, okay. So it was just Mom and I home, Marnie and I home. It was just Marnie and I at home, and Callie was there as well, but she's pretty easy to take care of, whatever. And I said, babe, what do you want for supper? She's like, I don't know what I usually cook. And she's like, whatever you think. I'm like, oh, it's just us. Let's do something special. So I don't do these very often, but we make burgers. Oh, Jesus loves me. They're so good. And we grill them up, and we do bacon in the oven and get that all just perfectly crispy. And then I'm a sauce guy. So I make it's kind of a dill ranch thing. And we just lather that burger up with this ranch sauce and the bacon on there. And we made sweet potato fries. And Marnie's eyes got about this big. And I cut it in half, and we sat down to watch a show together, which we hardly ever do. And this, no kids are gone, you know. Hey, yay us, right? So we're just kind of having a little date night at home. And Callie had her little bowl of cereal or whatever, she, you know, because that's what she wants. I bit into that hamburger, and I looked at Marnie, and she looked at me, and we just both went, oh, hallelujah. I was yearning for that. I've been so hungry for my bacon burgers, right? And I could tell you story after story, and you would make it through one of them. You'd be like, we're leaving. I don't even want to be here anymore. This is dumb. And it is. But it's just describing my hunger for those things. I've got an appetite for those things. But your spirit has an appetite for the Lord as well. Amen? Amen. Thank you for agreeing with that. And Jesus said, if that's you, you're going to be blessed, man. You are going to step into a realm of blessing that you haven't known before. Jesus is presenting this. He's presenting his kingdom. And he's like, you guys, you want to walk in blessing? Then, oh man, let me tell you, if you're one of those who are willing to hunger and thirst after righteousness, after the kingdom of God, you are going to be, oh, you can't even imagine how fulfilling and how blessed your life is going to be. Because we hunger and thirst after a lot of things. But if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, it's going to be amazing. Psalm 63:1, David says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Look at the verbs here. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Now that seems like a little radical, right? That's just, maybe you just like, hey, I'm just trying to come to church, dude. I don't know. That's for like weird people and musicians. This is what the Psalms and what Jesus is laying out for a normative life for us, is that our souls, and the quicker we realize that this is what we're really longing for, the faster we get into the flow of what God wants to pour out into our lives. The faster we realize that what I'm really hungry for is God, and I'm trying to fill that with everything else. And you may be like, wait, hey, I'm not out like sinning and stuff. Like I go to church and whatever. Right. But we're filling that hunger. We're numbing that hunger with so many other things, because a lot of times we don't recognize it even as a hunger for God. And if we cultivate that hunger for, see, you can cultivate a hunger for, like I could cultivate a hunger for my burger. Man, if I just thought, I sat and I thought about it, and then you put the bacon in, because, you know, we'll be like, once in a while, very, very seldom, listen to this, very seldom, but once in a while, Marnie and I will have eaten different times or whatever. So we'll come home and she'll have already had a little sandwich somewhere or whatever. And she's like, yeah, you're on your own. So I'll make something for me. And what she thinks that's going to be is a bowl of cereal or something. So I'll pull out like some leftovers out of the fridge and make another new sauce for it. And I'll grill up some bread and she'll go, oh, that smells really good. But she had just eaten, right? But all of a sudden, something's being cultivated. So sometimes I'll make a little extra because I know that she says she's not hungry now, but we know what that means. If that comes from a woman, nothing. That means nothing. It means that as soon as they smell that food, they're going to be like, I wasn't hungry, but now I am hungry. The same goes for your spirit. You might think that you're not hungry for all this Jesus stuff. I just want to go to church and kind of do my thing. But if you cultivate that hunger and stop snacking on everything else that isn't Jesus, all of a sudden you're going to realize this hunger for God that is so good. And it's not weird. It's good. It's life-giving. And you draw near to God and he draws near. God's looking. God looks for people that are looking for him. God keeps an eye out for those that are keeping an eye out for him. The Lord seeks those who are seeking him. Are you with me? That's what God's looking for. So if you want to have a proximity, a closeness to God, if you want to live a fulfilled, satisfying walk with Christ, look for the Lord. And we feel that that's one of the mandates on COC. And if I'm just going to be fully transparent, like it's hard sometimes. We feel like this is going to be a place where there's a company of believers that are just drawing a line in the sand and saying, we're chasing after God. Anyone ever just had a week? It was like, oh, man, it's been a week. We've had that as leaders. We've had that at different times. And there's times, I remember it at the other church, it was years ago. I just remember almost kind of not being bitter. It wasn't that far, but I'd had a couple weeks. And I remember standing there. And I remember going, God, like I wasn't even praying to God. I just remember thinking, Kirk, like it wasn't really a prayer. It was like, this would be so much easier if I could just come to church. If I just went to church and did my thing. I remember having that wrestling with myself, with the Lord, with those that are close to me. But it was all internal. I didn't mention it to anybody. I'm just saying it out loud now. But it would just be so much easier if I could just go and just be nice. Just like, hey, we'll have a good service. But you know what I know? Here's what I know. I know that every single week that someone walks through those doors that is on the verge of suicide. I know that every single week a marriage walks through the doors that it's on its last leg and this might be the end of it today. I know that every single week someone is walking through those doors bound in addiction and they need to meet the Lord. And so I said, God, I don't want to just show up to church and just do my thing. God, I want to seek your face every single time that I'm here. I want to give it all. I want to say, God, we need you. We're desperate for you. We need you to meet us in this place because there's broken people here that need an encounter with the Lord. Amen? And that just is one of the mandates that's on Christian Outreach Center. We've got a long service. We don't apologize for that. We're just here. We're just seeking the Lord. But one of the things that we're going to do is when we're here, we're going to seek the Lord. And we get it wrong a lot of times. And we're just you know, have off weeks sometimes. But at the root of it all, there's a group of people around me that are saying, we're in this with you and we're going after the Lord. How are we going to do this? Let's see God show up. Come on. And that's just for 30 years. Pastor Fearing, he led that. He's like, we're not letting go. We're not backing down. We're not letting up. We're not giving in. We're going after the Lord. Cultivate this hunger in us. Let's talk about killer weeds. Dum, dum, dum. I had a big, long saying, but I deleted it. I just changed it to killer weeds. So here's a story in Mark chapter 4. This is the parable of the sower and the seeds and soils. And you guys all know this one. You've heard it before. And we're going to focus in on just one part of it quick, but let's read it all to begin with. This is the parable part. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Now, look for four. Hey, hold up the number four. Hold up four. Four. Okay? There's four different kinds of soils here. See if you can pick out four different kinds. There's four. Four of them. He went and scattering the seeds. Some fell along the path. If you're counting, that's number one. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have very much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants so that they did not bear again. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Okay? The disciples talk, Jesus talks a little bit more, and then we're going to skip a few verses. And here's the explanation. So we're going to the explanation. Jesus is explaining this to the disciples. He said, the farmer, the seed that he's sowing is the word. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. All right? Here's where you see the only explicit interaction with the demonic, right? The demonic comes and just takes that seed away. Satan just takes it away. They can't even hear it, right? All right, so number two, others like seed sown on rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but they have no root, right? They haven't developed. They haven't done the things, right? They haven't grown. They have no root. They only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. That was the second one. Third one. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Fourth one. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. That's what we want to see in our lives. We want to see that last one. We want us to be fruitful. We want us to have vibrant God lives, right? We want to be producing fruit and being salt and light to those around us. We want our lives to be vibrant. But we're going to focus in on the one right before that. We're going to focus in on the third one there. That's the third one. Still others, we read it already, but still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke. Say choke. They choke the word, making it unfruitful. We haven't done a Greek word in a long time. We're not going to spend much time on it, but I'll just put it up on the screen for you to be able to mispronounce it like me. Supningo. 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 Nigo. 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 Supningo. Yes. That's the word choke. Supningo. Choke, smother, right? It means to strangle completely, to drown, or to crowd, to choke, or to throng. To throng? To throng. Say throng. Anyone been involved in a thronging? It is a weird word. It's an old English word. It's a word that we don't use unless you're really keen to a King James Bible. But thronging happens. And so if you are one of my guys that I talked to earlier, why don't you come up for just a minute? Come up for just a minute here. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on, quick, guys. Look at these men. Wow, look at these guys. They're thronging. There's a thronging that's going to happen. Oh, I'm feeling thronged. There's a thronging happening here. Whoops. Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. This is what we call a thronging right here. Now, this is kind of an invasion of personal space. And it's a lot of happening. I smell Trent. Trent is up here. Weren't you here last week? Wow, that's twice in a row. So in this situation, would you say that I'm fully free or not so free? Not so free. Not so free. I've got a lot of proximity to a lot of things here, but not exactly anything that I really want. These guys are amazing, but this is what a thronging looks like, and it is not very comfortable and way out of my comfort zone for personal space. Thanks, guys. Go away now. That's what that word means. That word means to throng. I'll wait till some of the guys get back to their... Thank you guys for just being so ready and available to do a thronging. In Luke chapter 8, this is where it's talked about. So hold on a second. Hold on. Look at me. One other time, other than the parable about the plants choking, one other time is supnigo used. Only one other time, and it's what we're reading right now. Otherwise, it's all used for those plants choking things out. Anyone ever planted a garden? We use garden analogies all the time because the Word of God does. Everyone started out on week 2 really good. Black soil, little tiny sprouts. Anyone ever get to week 9 and you look out the window because we just got rain and it's like 3 feet high of weeds? And you're like, I was going to get out there last week and I didn't make it. They got thronged. They got supnigoed, right? And anyone ever be like, hey, it's the Lord's garden. Whatever grows is going to grow. That's surrendering to Jesus right there. That's happened at our house a few times. And then you go out and you hope to find maybe one cucumber or something. And when it's all done, there's not a lot of fruit there, is there? There might be something that survived, but there's not much that survived. And here's Jesus here in Luke chapter 8. When Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And I can tell from experience, it's not very fun. There's some different versions of that. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. As he was going, the crowds were nearly crushing him. As he went, the multitudes thronged him. That's all that supnigo. That's that word. It's this pressing in and stifling and smothering and choking. And so let's go back to this verse. Now, I rewrote this verse, and now I'm not changing the Word of God, but I just spread it out. I do this once in a while so it's easier to see. And so this is that same verse. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life throng it. The deceitfulness of wealth throngs it. And the desires for other things throngs it. It comes in and throngs, it chokes, it supnegos the word, making it unfruitful. So we want this vibrant, heartfelt response to God. But I promise, if you've ever not been hungry for Jesus, one of these three things was taking place in your life, and it was choking out that vibrant life that God's meant for you. Are you with me? What strangles my hunger for God, according to this verse? It's the worries of this life, or some versions say the cares of this world. Look at this in Luke chapter 21. Jesus said, watch out, don't let your hearts be dulled. Don't let your appetite be squished. Don't let your life be suffocated by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries, the cares of this life. Don't let your heart be dulled. Don't let that thronging happen. See, we just think that there's just stuff going on. What happens is that stuff doesn't just go on. That stuff, and it gets around us so that I can't move in freedom anymore. It's stifling. The oxygen in the middle of that circle was less than par. It was not great. It was hard to breathe, right? You're getting suffocated. And so let's go to another one. That's talking about worry, talking about the cares of this life. Jesus said in Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Someone quoted this verse to me this morning. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not? You are. It's a question to you. Are you not? The answer is yes, you are. Are you not? The answer is yes. Are you not? Okay, you're starting to believe me. This is the Word of God. This is truth for you. You are more valuable than that. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So we're talking about the cares of this life, right? And don't worry about clothes. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And let's finish with this. So don't worry. Turn to somebody and say, don't worry. So don't worry. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And here's the key. Look at that. Look at that after pagans there. For the pagans, they do what? Run after. Let me read again. We're down on the second line. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. That's the key. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But you run after. Seek first the kingdom of God and his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So here's the thing. How many need to eat? How many would like to leave right now and eat? Yes, myself included, right? We need to eat. Your Christian witness is not going to get very far if you're walking around naked. Just saying. It's going to be, you'll be in jail, right? So God knows that we need clothes. He knows that we need food. So he's not saying don't ever interact with that. Don't ever, you know, like, he's not saying don't go to work and earn money so that you can buy food. He's not saying that. What he's saying is, the pagans run after those things. And a lot of times, that normal stuff in life, that's okay stuff. It's just stuff. It's what do I got to do at work tomorrow? What do I, you know, how, you know, I'm, what time am I going in the office? You know, how many 2x4s do I need tomorrow, right? It's, what are we making for supper tonight? Like, it's all the things that are normal things. Oh, we need to get some shoes for Callie for school. It's normal things, but it becomes consuming. It becomes thronging. And then we get consumed with that. So what we're saying is that this verse is telling us our hearts get dull, our life gets suffocated when that becomes the main focus. Don't leave church and say, Pastor told us we're never supposed to eat or wear clothes. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying when we allow those things to throng us, it suffocates the life out of us and we're not hungry for Jesus anymore. Because we're so consumed about worrying. We're so consumed about the cares of this world, right? We're so consumed with that. What else? What else strangles my hunger for God? The deceitfulness of wealth and riches, right? And we're not going to do a ton on this section here, but I just want to mention it and say, money has a loud voice and paints a big picture, and it's full of lies. You think if that's what you're allowing to throng around you, ooh, success. Oh, if I had this much, I could do that. Oh, if I would have done this, I could. Oh, if I had more, right? And there's this big, beautiful picture that's just a lie. And wealth and riches, it has a loud voice. And it's always calling to you, saying that this is, your life is going to be perfect if you just get, if you just have, if your bank account looks like this, right? I'm gonna provide so much for you. And we need to create that space, back up the throng, and say, all right, God, you're my provider. You've given us wealth to use, right? We prayed that verse this morning, that God would bless us indeed, right? And that, like, it's, we're to be a conduit. If you've got a spirit of generosity and you only got 20 cents, something's stuck, right? You can't elevate your means to the level of your generosity. So it's not that money's bad. The promise of money is evil. The what money is saying it's going to do for you is bad. And that chokes out your hunger for God, because if God's your provider and he's your source, he gives you wisdom, right? He gives you wisdom to know how to handle wealth. He gives you a spirit of generosity. If the Lord is first, money's not a problem, because you're going to be a blessing to all those around you, right? You're going to do well. So be careful of that. And then the third thing, desires for other things. And this one is so common. We have, in America, we have so much access to so many things, right? If you're bored, you just jump in a car and head to Fargo or to Sioux Falls or whatever. You go somewhere, you just do stuff and you just have stuff and you just ingest stuff. And we pull up on our phones and on our computers and there's just stuff. And we have all these desires for other things. I'll catch myself sometimes just wanting to buy something. I watched 14 of you put your head down. And I've learned to recognize that. And it's not wrong to want to buy it, but I'm going, here's the question. Is this scratching an itch that Jesus should be scratching? Right? Thank you for your heartfelt groans on that one, because that's a great, it's not wrong to buy things. It's wrong for those things to satisfy something only Jesus is meant to satisfy. We on the same page? And that's a tough call, and that's a heart issue, and it's a you and Jesus kind of thing. But Jesus is telling us, you got to watch out for that stuff, because it stifles the life out of you. If I get all my thrills, you know, watching YouTube videos and buying stuff on Amazon, and if I just do day in and day out of that, and it's about so much more than that. But the desires for other, some versions say lustful desires, and we could talk about all kinds of desires out of control for things. But I don't need Jesus. You know, my prayer then is, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, see you in the morning, Lord. I'm good. I don't need any more of God because I've already satisfied my soul with very temporary things that are going to leave a bad taste in my mouth in a while. Do you know what I mean? So those three things, if we're not hungry for the Lord, probably one of those three things are happening. Here's a quote, John Piper. Here's the first one. We're going to have another one in just a second. He says, there's an appetite for God, and it can be awakened. It can be awakened. So there's hope for you. And I want to share this with you this morning. If you're just kind of sitting through this and you're like, number one, I don't get it. I don't even know what it, like, you keep saying that like I should know what it means, be hungry for God. I don't even know what that means. It's talking about our inmost desires, wanting the Lord, wanting Jesus in our life, and cultivating this, like, it's a literal hunger. There's it's a soul hunger and a spirit hunger, and you want to meet with the Lord. And if you're here today and you're like, okay, I either don't know what that means or now, okay, you explained it to me. I don't know that's me. It can be awakened, and here's what I want to point out. You're not broken. You're not unloved by God. You're not, well, other people can be hungry, but God just didn't make me that way, so I must not be so valuable. No, that's. I just want to be very clear that everyone has an open invitation to cultivate a hunger for the Lord. And so if you're not experiencing that, it's not because God doesn't like you. Are you with me? If you're not hungry for the Lord, it's not because the Lord doesn't want you to be hungry for him. It's not because the Lord's mad at you. It's not because God doesn't want you to draw near to him. He wants us to cultivate that hunger for him. Here's what John Piper says in his next quote. The more deeply you walk with Christ, the hungrier you get for Christ. That's the weird part about it. If you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you've drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because you've nibbled so long at the table of the world. We're full of everything else. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there's no room for the great. God did not create you for this. Excuse me. One of my favorite restaurants is Texas Roadhouse. Does Jesus love anybody else? I mean, you with me? Okay. Texas Roadhouse is incredible. We went there 5 times, and on the 5th time, and I was not pleased with any of it ever until we found our right things that we wanted. You know, like you find your meal, and you're like, oh, so now I've got it. Like, I'll drive a long way to go to Texas Roadhouse. But the first time I went there, first or second, I think maybe it was like the second time I went there. This is back in the old days. This is pre-COVID when peanut shells were on the floor. Back in the real days, in the good times of Texas Roadhouse. And I remember I went there and I was so starving. And I ate bread like Jesus was coming back in 10 minutes. I ate peanuts like I was 10 elephants, right? And it was so good. And I ate more peanuts, and I ate more bread, and I ate more peanuts, and I ate more bread. And then the meal that I had paid for came out, and I got sick. because I didn't want to waste that, and I didn't want to eat leftovers. I was so full when that came out, because that bread just kept expanding, and those peanuts filled in the cracks that the bread wasn't. And I remember it vividly. And I like, sorry to bring up so many food stories, but sorry, not sorry. It fits. Like, I was so full that it made me almost, I didn't throw up or anything, but it made me want to vomit. Like, oh, steak. Whoa. Like, so I'm careful now. I go in there and I eat what I'm supposed to eat for a little bit, right? And that's what John Piper is saying. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there's no room for the great. God didn't create you for this. God didn't create you to fill up on bread and peanuts. Come on, church. God did not create you to fill up on bread and peanuts. And a lot of us throughout the week were thronged by the cares of this world and the desires for other things and our pursuit of wealth, right? And my soul is pretty full right now. I wouldn't say I'm joyful, but I'm full. And I don't want the Lord because God can just do his God thing, you know. Yay, happy God, whatever. But we're not hungry for God because we're full of everything else. And that's what he's saying. And Darren Eubank says, just like in the physical, in the spirit, when you're satisfied, you often lose your hunger. And when you lose your hunger, you're unable to receive all that God has to give. In the kingdom of God, when you are hungry, he fills you up. And when you're filled up, you're hungry for more of him. It's actually the opposite of the physical world. When you take in spirit food, you receive a supernatural hunger. That's what's crazy is the more you eat of spiritual food, the hungrier you get. Amen? It's weird. You're like, you would think that, oh, I've had this incredible experience with the Lord. My soul is set, and it is. But you know what I want? I want more. I want more of that. Because we're created for that. That's what we're created for. A couple slides of a gal named Glenna Marshall in a great little article she wrote. She wrote this: the more I feed on the word, the more I hunger for Christ. The more I feed on the things of the world, the more restless my heart becomes. Hold on, church. I'm going to read that again because you need to hear this. The more I feed on the word, the more hunger I get for Christ. The more I feed on the things of the world, the more restless my heart becomes. If I'm consistently feeding my heart the wrong thing, I will see the anemic fruit of that malnourishment. Here's what she says next. I color-coded it for you. She says, if I've got too much scrolling in my life, then I end up with a distracted prayer time. If I've got too much entertainment in me, then I constantly just desire to want to be entertained. If I've got too much self-indulgence or feasting without ever fasting, then I end up with weakness and grumbling at the very first sign of spiritual discomfort. If I focus too much on my desires, I have little desire to serve others. Right? And she goes on, she says this: however, when I saturate my heart with scripture, when I labor in prayer, when I sit at the table and drink from the living water and eat the bread of life, we heard about that this morning, bread of life, my soul is filled, and somehow I'm even hungrier to walk closely with Christ. So if you're feeling little desire for Jesus, consider your diet. We're just about done here. What are you putting into your mind and heart all day? Could it be that if you turned off the screens and opened your Bible, that your appetite might altogether change? I'll just let the collective ouch sit in there. I know it's ironic to read this on a screen, but as the poet said, the world is too much with us. My goal these days is to put more distance between myself and my apps. Stop the thronging. And to put less distance between myself and the Bible. The more I get of him, the more I want. And that's exactly how it should be. One last slide, and it's just a list of things. How do I develop my hunger for the Lord? This is the last slide. Here we go. We're done. What are you consuming, right? That's kind of all the slides previous to this. That's what it's been talking about. What am I ingesting? What am I snacking on? Am I so consumed with peanuts and bread that I don't even care about the steak that's waiting for me? In this analogy, if you haven't followed along, the steak is Jesus, right? We want this, what's going to be satisfying for our souls. And read great books. If you're like, oh, I'm not really a reader, well, get an audiobook. Like, there's such a richness and a wealth of, like, how do I get hungry for God? Find people that are passionate about Jesus. And that's one of the things at this church. We want to be that. However imperfectly we do it, we want to at least show up excited, right? God's going to do something. How else can I get hungry for God? Spend some time with Jesus throughout the day. Well, I read my Bible this morning for 3 minutes. Okay, well, good. Well, I mean, good. I'm not putting that down. Good. How about as you're having lunch, talk to the Lord? How about as you're walking or driving your truck or whatever, in the tractor? How about just talk to the Lord for a little bit? Just invite him. Hey, Jesus, how are you doing? You can talk to the Lord like that. I'm doing all right. I'm liking how this field is getting planted. I think I'm doing all right. You can watch podcasts and videos by hungry people. Like God's stirring right now in America. So, like, look some of that up. Spend some time soaking in God's word and his presence. If you want to get hungry for God, don't just do your devotions. Like, slow it down and just take some time to be in his word. Let his word just wash over you. Find out who God says you are. Find out who God says he is. And let that just saturate your heart and your soul. Here's this last one. Let me explain this to you. Ignite your faith and imagination and spiritual creativity. So many of us are slaves. This will be the last thing. So many of us are slaves to the circumstances. As we love Jesus, we have faith even that God can show up. But we're responders. We're just responders. We just react. God's given you a spiritual authority to create, but we just react. Well, so-and-so said this. Oh, my kid did this. Oh, my checkbook looks like this. Like, we look at the circumstances and we go, hey, right? And we just get sucked into that. Where God says, ignite your faith. Look at the same exact circumstance and say, ooh, God, this is a great opportunity for you to show up and be my provider. Wow, my kid that just was so disrespectful to me, man, you're going to show him the true love of the Father and the authority of God, and you're going to just draw his heart or her heart to you. Like, right? It's a great opportunity for you to use your creativity instead of creating doom and gloom scenarios. This isn't just like New Agey stuff. This is the original. This is how God gave you. He gave you an imagination that's different than any other creature on earth. You can cultivate these things in your mind. And you're like, we even did a little series on it, like from the Word of God. But we had a little thing for a while, probably two or three years ago. We called it What If? What If? What If? Oh, yeah, you're having a tough week, but what if this was the beginning of your turnaround? Oh, yeah, you're feeling stuck, but what if freedom's on the other side of this? What if 5 minutes from now, God sets you completely free? What if? Play the what if game with God. You want to cultivate hunger? Play the what if game with God. All right, God, I know you love me. I know you love my family. Things are looking a little bleak right now. I'm stuck up against this. I got this hurdle. I got this deficit. I'm feeling this emotion, but what if? What if, God? What if you just showed up right now and changed everything? What if you're teaching me right now perseverance and you're giving me tools? What if, right? Play the faith game. Play the what if game with God and let your imagination cultivate hunger for God in you. It's a cool thing. That's it for today. Like, do some of those things. That isn't the only thing, but be hungry for the Lord. Like, don't just come in as a spectator. Wonder what the pastor's going to rant about today, and wonder what the worship team's going to try to get it. Like, just lean in, be a part, get excited, like, do it, like, be engaged, and cultivate your hunger for the Lord. I want us, when we leave church, to be going like, oh, I want more of that. God, show up on my drive home. God, show up tomorrow morning when I do my devotion. Like I want, that's what we want. We want you to have a spiritual appetite and a hunger for Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you that you are doing great things. And Lord, it's so easy for us to get thronged, to get consumed by the things of this world and other desires and deceitfulness of wealth and for our hearts to get dulled. And Lord, we just pray for vibrant, engaged hearts that are leaning into Jesus. We're excited about what you're doing in 2025 and going into 26. We thank you, God, that in our little corner of the world here, you haven't forgotten us. What if, God? What if God showed up at COC? What if God showed up in our families? What if God healed our marriages? What if God rewired our minds? What if God set us completely free? God, we want to play the what if game and then just give you room to move in our lives because you're so good. We just pray for a great week and a week of great faith in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.